I'm going to say YouTube Shorts because I'm bitter. I signed up on TikTok, went on, and no matter what I did, I could not get one of those bloody capes. Impossible to get. I joined the streams. I wrote the funny words in the chat. I don't know what I was doing. I must have looked like the most boomer person in the world, but I could not for the life of me figure out how to get a goddamn cape.
Hello, hello everyone, I'm Gears.
And I'm Mox Valix, and welcome to the Data Pack Podcast, episode 10! Let's go!
Episode 10, we did it! We're a real podcast now.
We're a real podcast. I think, was it like episode 2 or something? We said if episode we make it two, to episode yep. 10, that's it's a real thing.
We're a real podcast.
Yeah, yep. So it's official.
There we go. So, this episode, since it's episode 10, which is a bit of a milestone, we have decided to do a bit of a Q&A. So we asked people in our Discord, and we made a YouTube community post, asking for questions, and today we're going to be answering them. We got some questions from viewers, we got some questions of our own, which we're going to be asking each other, and I can ask the first question. I think what we'll do is we can take in turns asking questions, but we'll both give an answer to them.
Yep.
So, all right, the first one is by Aten007, and their question is, are you planning to add or make a data pack which adds custom items such as paintings, goat horns, arm trims, etc. to the game? So I guess they're referencing the fact that we normally make sort of technical data packs like Code of Copper, you know, which is much more focused on the technical aspect of interpreting a programming language and all that sort of stuff, or regex. So I guess they're asking if we're planning on making sort of a more traditional pack, I guess, as opposed to a technical one.
Yeah, it's a good question. I mean, I personally, by myself, have worked on some packs like that in the past, like my banners pack comes to mind. I was working with Wolfian on a dog pack, so having different dog variants.
Was that before or after they added data-driven dog
variants? No, I guess that was after, yeah.
Yeah, it wasn't like a custom dog variants before it was possible. It was just like adding, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, it was it. Basically, I was trying to, whenever a new data-driven feature come out, I was trying to learn it, right? So I was would mm-hmm. make a pack for it, and I also did one for enchantments. Unfortunately, the dog one hasn't been finished yet, although we are working on that. Wolfian's availability has been fairly low recently, unfortunately, and the enchantments pack, I kind of lost interest in it somewhat, but I might come back to it. Yeah,
I should do that, honestly, because I always find myself looking up the new formats, like when I actually end up using them months after they come out initially. I mean, sometimes I don't, but like the other day I was making a data pack where I wanted to have a custom death message, so I looked up how you use damage types, because I mean that's been in the game since what, 1.20 was when they added slash damage and damage types.
Yeah,
but
I
hadn't touched them. I'd never made a damage type before then, and so I looked it up and I was trying to figure out how it worked. But if I'd been doing stuff when it first came out, then that would help me understand how it works a bit better.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Yeah, it's something I find is fun to do. It's a good way to learn. Yeah, as you said, so then when you do need to use it in a bigger data pack, you know, you kinda got an idea. I mean, there's nothing stopping you learning it later on though.
No, true. I still gotta learn. Still got to learn world gen and shaders. They're the two things on my list to learn for data packs. And then I feel like I pretty much know all the features of data packs and resource packs, more or less.
I mean, surprisingly, world gen has seemed to be the most stable data pack feature right now.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's had a couple of changes, but really, yeah, not a whole lot. Shaders, on the other hand, they've been getting some changes, and according to people who know how shaders work, it's a substantial change which could allow for a lot of things in the future, but I don't
know. Exciting.
I don't know anything about shaders.
I
but maybe now's
really
the time
like
to learn.
Yeah, I really I do would know, like to learn shaders.
I do know sort of in general how shaders work. I know that it's a language which runs on your GPU, and it essentially takes input pixels as like a texture, and then you can run sort of processing on that and render new colors on your screen and stuff. And it's the shader languages have a lot of weird features. Yeah, it's all sort of image based almost. It runs on the GPU, so the operations you can do is sort of different from what you would do on a CPU.
It's all focused on being parallel. So
yeah, exactly.
Rather than being like consecutive, like, you know, in order, it all runs out of order kind of thing.
Yeah, you write like a shader which basically runs a separate process for each pixel on your screen, essentially. And then your GPU runs one on each of its... I know, modern GPUs have, I know, something like 4,000 cores. They can run 4,000 parallel processes or something.
Mm.
So, back to the question.
So, paintings, goat horns, armor trims.
I think they were... I'm not sure if that was really there. I don't know. I think they just meant custom items. I don't know exactly. Anyway, I would say... It doesn't sound like the kind of thing that the two of us would work on together, necessarily. I mean,
something we may do, like, it's more likely one of us would do it individually, we would do a pack like that.
Yeah. I feel like the things we work on together, I mean, we already have too many projects to keep track of and work on. So I feel like the projects we work on together are generally technical data packs.
Mm.
And so if we wanted to add... custom items, we'd probably just do that on our own as a solo development process rather than together. Although there is that thing which we're working on, which I don't know if we want to tell people about. Maybe let's not yet.
Yeah,
but
it's still fairly early in the development process.
467, if that makes sense to you.
Yeah,
that will probably add some custom items.
Definitely.
And so,
well, yeah, thank you, Aten007, for the question. We'll now move on to what are your predictions on data-driven features by Minecraft, or in Minecraft? By what update/year do you think they'll make the game completely customizable without mods or plugins? And do you think they're moving towards that goal currently? If yes, how would you rate their progress? Where they means Mojang. This was asked on our Discord by Sleety McSleeterface, and...
Thank you, Sleety McSleeterface.
Okay, what are our predictions?
So they're definitely moving towards the goal of making stuff more data-driven. Every update, it seems like we're getting more data-driven stuff. First we got, actually I don't know the exact order, but you know, we got data-driven damage types in 1.20, data-driven paintings, data-driven goat horns in, I think, a 1.21.2 snapshot, and lots of data-driven things like that. Jukebox songs or music discs, rather, and obviously components are making a lot of stuff more data driven, which is very cool. And from what I've seen, they definitely seem to be moving towards data driven items. I think the component system really makes sense as as a way to data drive items, and I think once they can figure out a way to transform every kind of current hard-coded behavior, which is currently hard-coded in Java code as items, once they can figure out how to transform that into components for every single item, then I think we'll have data-driven items with components where you basically just define a JSON file, you give it an ID, and then you give it a default set of components, and I think that would be awesome. Like, I feel like by what update year they'll make it completely customizable, I don't know, because something like data-driven entities, that is not going to be around for a long time, because entity behavior is incredibly complex, right? All the AI and all the code which makes entities do what they do is pretty complicated, and I don't think we're anywhere close to completely having data-driven entities.
I've noticed they've been moving towards like a lot of modern mobs. I watched a YouTube video a while back. A lot of modern mobs use this new brain NBT format that they've got, which handles tasks, point of interest, pathfinding. And it seems like it's almost data-driven entity behavior, which
in terms of like MBT-driven.
Yeah, NBT-driven.
Yeah.
I mean, it's still relying, like, still external things are, you know, like, modifying it, I guess.
Getting that MBT, yeah.
And I believe it originated with villagers, but I wouldn't
I've seen it in villagers for sure.
I wouldn't be, like, overly surprised if at some point that becomes maybe a bit data-driven as well. But
that'd be so cool if they could, or at least just make, like, an entity where it's just some sort of dummy entity, which just has a bunch of MBT fields, which you can modify using commands.
Yeah, and having it, and allowing it, does, it like, to have a custom model.
Yeah, custom model with custom animations, potentially. I mean, I know Java doesn't really have an animation system, so that would need to be put in place, but it would be very cool. To just have it handle stuff by default, like pathfinding and certain things like that, which is hard to implement with data packs.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, yeah, pathfinding is something which would be very nice to have an easy way to do that. I mean, currently there's sort of two ways. Either you can implement a pathfinding system like a star pathfinding with a data pack, which is generally very slow.
Mm.
Or you can use a wandering trader, because a wandering trader has the wander target MBT, which is essentially where it pathfinds to next. And so you can use that to control its movement.
Yeah, we actually use that in the Harlequins data pack that we talked about earlier on the podcast, to make a pig walk through the correct spot.
Uh-huh.
The wander target is pretty cool. And I kind of, I wish, like, wander target applied to more mobs, kind of, you could override it.
Yeah, if you could make any mob pathfind, that would be very useful.
Mm.
But yeah, I mean, what we did is we had an invisible wandering trader riding the pig, and the passenger controls the vehicle, so we have to have the wandering trader ride the pig, and then set its wander target, and then essentially you ride the wandering trader, I think. And then it goes over to the place you want it to, which is a little cursed.
It's a little cursed. A tad cursed. But, you know, if you don't go F5, you don't notice that you're hovering above the pig because you've got an invisible wandering trader underneath.
Yeah, and we set the scale. Obviously, if it was a full-size wandering trader,
you would notice.
Then, yeah, you would notice. But we set the scale attribute. The new scale attribute's really cool.
It's so good.
I love all the new attributes.
Yeah. I mean, that's another thing. Like, attributes. Like, I mean, attributes were already fairly customizable, but they got completely buffed in...
They gave us tons of new ones. Scale, jump height, minimum, like, gravity, say, full distance. All those ones were so cool.
So, I'm gonna come back to the question a little bit. My prediction...
Yeah, right.
No guarantees, but I can see a possibility of custom items being in 1.22. Just seeing, like, how much the item system changed between 1.20 and, like, 1.20.5, like, when they did the big components overhaul. That was a massive change for a minor update. At that rate of development, I could see them implementing the last few components. Like, even if they're not fully customize a lot, like Bo just, you know, has a lot of hard-coded behavior. I would say it's not completely outside of reality for 1.22, but then again, it's very possible that they could sit on this for a while. So
yeah, I think, I don't know, I mean, it seems like each update they're adding a few new components.
Yeah.
They added the new cooldown, use cooldown component recently. And obviously they got a data drive. Every sort of registry based thing, which uses like an internal registry, has to essentially be data driven first. So like I guess it doesn't have to, but like Goathorn instruments, right? They added that as a that adds a registry which you can add to using JSON files, and then they added a component which can be used in combination with that.
Yeah.
So I'm trying to think, are there any other registry-based things which they haven't data-driven yet? I can't think of any at the moment.
I'm not sure.
One thing I wish they would make a component for now is armor, because they added a component for tools, right? So you can customize a tool, which is super cool. That was one of the best components they added, right? Because you've got the whole mineable tag thing, which gives you like control over which set you have a block tag, and then gives you control over which set of blocks are mined better with that specific tool. And yeah, you can do all sorts of really cool stuff with that. You can easily create your own custom tool type. And so, yeah, I think if they had one like that for armor, that would be very cool.
Yeah.
And also, I don't know, yeah, thing is, armor models are currently hard-coded.
Yeah.
So they'd have to figure out... I think there's still a long way to go before fully data-driven items.
Yeah, but
so
I think, like, I can see a possibility where maybe not everything about an item is data-driven.
Right.
But they provide a way to create items with, like, a set of components that maybe can't do everything a hard-coded item could, but, like, can do 90%, right? Now, they may decide to be like, no, we don't want to implement it until everything's data-driven. I mean, the other thing is they could implement, like, it's just one item, so it's just one item ID, but then there's a component that loads the rest of the components it should use, and then you could have a registry for that, maybe.
Interesting.
That could be how they end up doing it, so, like, having, like, custom underscore item or something.
Right. Yeah, I guess that could work.
Yeah.
But in terms of making the game completely customizable without mods or plugins, we're nowhere near that. I mean, data-driven blocks would still... Like, you can think some blocks, like dirt, let's say, that's easy to data-drive. You give it a sound, you give it a texture, that's it, you're done. Yeah. But let's say, how would you data-drive the chest? Or the ender chest, or the crafting table.
Or the beacon.
You know, the crafting table's an incredibly complex piece of code.
Yeah.
And, you know, it handles all the crafting recipes and
all
that.
Like, data-driven UI. That data-driven? You need
data-driven UI, but you'd also need to data-drive the functionality of...
crafting.
Of, like, parsing a recipe format and then applying that to the items, which is, like,
What?
Like, I don't know.
In that case...
They probably have most of it handled by built-in logic and just have, like, a way to say this is a crafting table or something.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, you can't really...
Once you're doing that, they kind of need to, like, it would be better for them to focus on implementing, like, Lua or some scripting language into the game. Because... in reality, you can't, like... stuff like that just needs to be handled with code. There's a limit to how much you can data drive the entire game.
JSON.
Yeah. However, one thing I'm predicting will get data driven, and it might even be soon, I don't know. I reckon the groundwork is there for data driven effects.
Yeah, that's something I wish we had.
Yeah.
Custom effects is something that is kind of lacking.
So many effects are just basically attribute modifiers. And with, like, there's already precedents now for enchantments doing that, where they apply attributes. Why not effects? You know? I feel like we could see that soon.
I think effects are sort of in a similar vein to enchantments.
Mm.
But yeah, in terms of, if we're talking about the game completely customizable, it's a long time.
I
don't know, far in the future.
I don't think we're ever going to see the game completely customizable to the point where you would have mods and plugins. I think the modding and plugin, like, ecosystem, I think, like, they don't need to compete with it, really.
Well, one thing to say for that is that one of the points of Datapacks is that the Datapacks are essentially safe.
Mm.
Like, if you install a mod, it could potentially try and steal your files and hack your computer, right? A mod can contain malware. Mm. A Datapack can't do that, right?
Yeah.
So they never want to make Datapacks exactly as capable as mods, because mods can do a lot of stuff which you don't necessarily want, because they're just Java code, so you can essentially do whatever you want. And they'll never make it so you're able to do something like, which you might be able to do with a mod, like make the game into, I don't know, change some fundamental aspect of the game.
Mm.
Right. You'll never be able to do it with Datapacks, but my hope is that you'll be able to do enough that you don't have to do weird workarounds. I mean, but yeah, like data-driven entities, honestly,
we might get it,
but I'm not sure we'll ever get it, really.
Yeah. It could be, like, I'd say it's not completely impossible, but entities are very complex. And it really just depends on, you know, I think we might see entities becoming, like, I wouldn't be surprised if we get, like, maybe some kind of entity component system. So, components, I know an entity component system is like a, that's a real name of a thing.
Oh, right, yeah. ECS, yeah.
Yeah. It's a game development. Yeah. But I wouldn't be surprised, like, because we're in a weird state where items have had this big NBT overhaul, but entities still have a lot of legacy NBT stuff.
And blocks, but not so much, blocks. Really. Blocks don't store as much state as entities, really.
Yeah, only block entities, and, well, you know, block entity might come with a entity overhaul, you know? I don't know.
Mm-hmm. That would be cool. It would be cool to have some way to add, like, a custom block, even if we don't have full control over functionality and stuff.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
Yeah, that one's interesting, though, because at that point you're tying into so many internal, like, world-gen systems, rendering systems. It's... Custom blocks would be really cool. I don't know how feasible they would ever be. And also, yeah, like, custom block entities would be, like, I think almost impossible to data drive, really.
Yeah, I'm sure they would. So, yeah, I think custom items, definitely working our way there. Could be a while before we get fully data-driven custom items, though. Depending on whether we get it before every item is data-driven, and depending on, like, if they do another massive push of changes like they did with 1.20.5, where they completely overhauled the system. I could see them, if they wanted to, making, like, 1.21.2 or 1.21.3, let's say, just, like, add a bunch of new components. But I think it's also a case of, you know, the saying, the last 20% of a task takes 80% of the time.
Yeah.
I think they've already implemented a lot of the somewhat straightforward components.
Yeah, they've done the 80%.
All the stuff that was already an NBT field, that's a component now, right? Yeah. And then they added stuff like food and, sure, I mean, it's not trivial stuff, but, like, data driving, I don't know, a trident, let's say, or a crossbow.
Because you got to handle, like, it updating the model. You got to handle it, like, charging, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
It's got to, like, somehow know to move the item into itself from your inventory. The crossbow is a great example of one that's just really complicated piece of logic tied to it.
It's very... I feel like that's one of the more complicated items in the whole game.
They could implement it that you add the crossbow component, and then and it like has a tag allowed and items and stuff like that. And then just any item I can see them doing that.
Because I feel like how would you make a data driven component for that? Like, you couldn't completely data drive it.
Well, you, it's
at some point you've got to have built in logic, right?
Yeah. It's like highly specific to that one item, but they could make it that you could make any item a crossbow.
Yeah, exactly.
Rather than you being able to take each individual part of like cross, like, because in the, you know, in the most data driven way, you would have every little bit of that. You would have a way for, you know, an item to consume another item from the inventory. You would have a charging component. You would have a, like, it would be this combination of components, but that would become so convoluted and so much extra work. I feel like they wouldn't do that.
I can see them making like a crossbow component with fields of, let's say, charge time, allowed items, and then maybe even some sort of additional trigger when you shoot it, like, as what, like, you can either shoot shoot a projectile or maybe even run a function somehow.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, if you allow it to customize what items it can be, and what if it's a non-arrow item, right? How does the game know how to shoot that, right? I guess, like, you could then have items have a projectile component which explains what kind of projectile to make, right?
So that would be very cool.
And so then you could have, like...
They kind of have to do that, don't they?
I mean,
otherwise arrows are hard-coded.
And then, like, snowballs.
There's so much stuff you take for granted, which is like, oh, actually, yeah, that's got to be data-driven.
How do you data drive Ender Eye? Eye of Ender. Mm-hmm. Like, that's tricky.
Eye of Ender.
Like, theoretically, you would just have the Eye of Ender component, that you apply that and it does Eye of Ender stuff. But then you've also got, what if it's food and Eye of Ender? You've got to have an order that it happens in, right? Can you eat it, or does it shoot, right?
Yeah.
It's not entirely trivial to componentize everything.
Because it's really not.
So much is, like... I mean, Minecraft wasn't built... Like, Minecraft was built as an indie game, right?
And now it's...
It's a big... Well, I almost feel like calling it a AAA game is a bit of a stretch, but it is. It's got a AAA budget. It's got, you know, AAA development team. It's just...
Well, what is actually the definition of a AAA game as opposed to...
I think it's budget. I think it's just how much money the game's got.
So why wouldn't Minecraft be a AAA game?
Yeah, fair. I think it has to be at this point.
I mean, it's like...
It's kind of just too buggy.
One of the most sold games, and possibly the most sold computer game.
I think it is. It's the top. Something. Yeah, it overtook Tetris a while back.
Yeah. So, I mean, if that's not a AAA game, then I don't know what is.
Yeah. It overtook GTA 5 and Tetris. You know, it's a real tough competition there.
Tetris.
Tetris. Wow. I love that was the top game for ages. We should probably move on to the next question.
So, yeah, that we went in detail quite a lot in that, because, I mean...
Good question, Sleedy McSleederface.
Yeah, thanks for that. I hope we answered your question, Sleety McSleeterface. But yeah, dreaming about all the stuff we could do if we had more data-driven stuff is always... It's definitely a hobby of mine. Okay, so...
We could even do a
future
episode on it.
Yeah. Actually, that's a good idea. Yeah, we could talk about stuff we'd like to be added to the game. Maybe we'll do that next episode. Okay, so the next question comes from... Oh, I can't do this. The next question comes from Jeremiah the Insulator.
That is quite the name, I would say that for sure.
And they say, question, prithee, what hast made thine self consciousness? Pray, one does ask thine self, what is thy favourite item modifier function?
Now that's a British person if I've ever heard one.
A British person from the 15th century.
Exactly. What is thy favourite item modifier function? That is a good question.
Okay, so I have the wiki page for item modifiers.
Okay.
Open here. So I guess I'll read out all the functions. So, okay, we've got apply bonus.
Okay.
Which was originally apply bonus from, well, I guess it was merged from apply bonus from fortune and apply bonus from looting, probably.
Right.
So, yeah, it basically allows you, once they data drove enchantments, they didn't want to have any specific code there in the item modifier types. So, yeah, basically you can do that for any enchantment now. They have copy components, which allows you to copy components from, well,
a source.
It only allows block entity for some reason.
Yep.
Which is so dumb.
I feel like we
definitely lost some item modifier functionality when they switched to components.
Yeah. I'm hoping they come back.
Copy MBT, copy components. Like, literally, you can only copy it from a block entity. I wish you could copy it from, you know, whatever, you know. But I guess the thing is, components from a storage aren't necessarily well-formed.
Mm.
Like, because now items perform MBT validation, whereas before, I'm pretty sure you could basically give it whatever the heck you wanted as MBT and just,
you know.
Yeah,
if we just had data-driven inventories, that wouldn't be a problem. I'm foreshadowing is a
no. That's the last
device.
Question. Sorry, we've done that question. No, moving on. Yeah. So I wish they, but I mean, sure they could like perform validation at that point. Like you can, anyway.
Yeah, they can. Perform
validation. I wish they added. Yeah, I wish they added like a source for blocks and entities and storages as well, because you can't really do that anymore. Well, there is still copy custom data, which is just like what copy MBT was before, but only for the custom data component.
Yeah.
I believe in Code of Copper, we were using copy MBT for a certain thing. That required a bit of work to update the item modifiers for Code of Copper, because they were using some behavior which doesn't really apply anymore, such as copy MBT.
Yeah.
I think one thing we ended up doing is we like copied the custom data and then used like a data modify to copy the custom data into the rest of the components, which was kind of weird.
Well, it's because we copied the data field from the marker into the NBT of the item, and I think we had to do workarounds to do that.
Yeah, because it stored stuff like the custom model data of the item, and then that obviously doesn't store in the custom data field. So yeah, there's that. There is copy name that copies an entity's name into an item's name. Interesting. Oh, I think you must have used that in Moxlib Experimental to do string concatenation, right?
I think that may have been one of the parts.
I think that's what you did. Yeah, there you go. Well, yeah. There's copy state, which copies a block state. So I guess that's for stuff like shulker boxes who... Oh, no, hang on. It's block state tag. No, so I guess it's for...
Things that can place a block state.
Things that retain block state, like
honey,
beehives and bee nests, as I learnt today. when we were reading the new snapshot changes before the podcast started.
That's right. Spoiler alert, I can't think of any other block
there were. Enchant randomly. Enchant the item with one random selected enchantment.
Okay.
So,
interesting.
Yeah, it basically, you give it a list of enchantment IDs, and it basically picks a random one and applies it. I think this is what a villager trade uses, essentially, just with every enchantment.
Yeah.
It basically just applies one random thing with it. Then there's enchant with levels, which is more like what fishing loot tables do. And it basically enchants as if you're doing it in an enchantment table with that many XP levels.
Yeah.
So that's like a more realistic simulation of that. Exploration map. This is pretty cool. You can, yeah, add a structure to a map. So this is used in stuff like villager trades who trade, cartographers who trade a woodland explorer map, let's say, or an ocean explorer map, which lead you to a certain structure. And so you can do this for any structure, basically, yeah, which is pretty cool.
That's a cool one. Right, I'm putting that one on my list as well.
Build playerhead. That gives you a playerhead from a certain entity.
Okay, that one's good. That one's good.
Filtered, which applies an item modifier if the item matches a certain predicate. What's the difference between that and item modifier with a condition?
There probably isn't a difference.
That just seems like
redundant.
Huh.
Yeah.
It's probably a legacy thing.
Possibly.
Furnace smelt. Okay. Run it through a furnace. Fair that enough. Was kind of cool. They added that one recently.
Yeah, that's nice.
No, actually, hang on, they added a way to do that with enchantments recently. I think with loot tables, that's always been a thing.
Yeah, we should add the smelt function to Code of Copper.
Yeah, it consumes one coal and gives you 8. Okay, limit count. So you might want to apply a bunch of modifiers to, like, randomly tweak the count and stuff, but then say you don't want it to go above a certain amount or below a certain amount, then you essentially clamp it to that. 2 values. It takes a number provider, which means I guess you can limit it to a random number.
Yeah.
Which is kind of weird. Or like, yeah, a score provider. Or storage. Yeah, number provider is cool. I like how they've used that.
Can I choose number providers as my favorites? It's technically not a loot table
function, unfortunately. No. There's also the new enchantment, what's it, level provider? Level based value, that's what it's called.
Level-based value is very cool.
I wish level-based values accepted number providers as well.
Yeah.
Because you can do level-based values plus, like, literal values, basically. But yeah. I wish you could just do a number provider, so you could do, like, a level-based value plus a certain random amount or something.
Yeah, that would be cool.
Enchanted count increase. Hang on, what's the difference between enchanted count increase and apply bonus? Enchanted count increase adjusts the stack size based on enchantment on the killer entity. So I guess that's for looting. And then the other one is for, like, fortune, maybe. Modify contents. So you can set the contents of... this is used for shulker boxes.
Yeah.
And you can also modify the contents. Charge projectiles. So you can set, like, a crossbows projectile or bundle contents. Mm-hmm. That's cool. Reference. That's just another item modifier. Sequence applies a list of functions, so that just lets you do several. Set attributes, that just sets the attribute modifiers on an item. Set banner pattern, now a lot of these are just setting specific components.
Yeah.
Sets the banner pattern, set book cover, sets the cover details as a written book content component. Set components, I mean,
classic.
Yeah, that's probably the most powerful one. Set contents. Well, modify contents and set contents. So set contents is a loot table entry, but modify contents takes item modifiers.
Oh, fair enough.
Interesting. Set count, set custom data, set custom model data, set damage, set enchantments, set fireworks, set firework explosion, set instrument, set item. That one's cool. You can literally just change the item ID.
That's cool.
And it keeps all its components. That's even cooler now that more stuff is data-driven because, because it still works with a lot of... I mean, obviously, not everything's data-driven, but yeah. Set loot table. So that sets the loot table for a container, so like a chest, so you can place it. Set lore, set name, set potion, set stew effect, set writable book pages, set written book pages, and toggle tooltips. So you can turn on and off each tooltip individually, basically. Okay, so what's your favorite?
My favorite? Well, you're going to love this one. Reference.
No, my favorite one's filtered.
Filtered?
It's like reference, but you also, but you specify the condition outside of the nested item modifier, except instead of inside it.
Right.
But you could also specify one inside it.
I guess because it can also just take a string reference, I guess, so that's why you would do that. What does that have to be?
No, it seems to just
take a string reference.
Take an inline reference.
Interesting.
Next question is from Amandine, and he says, what do you think of datapack languages like Zoglin? Well,
we're not biased or anything.
We're not biased, but Zoglin is pretty cool.
It's amazing you have such an unbiased take there. I think Zoglin might be one of the best things.
Honestly, best thing since sliced bread.
That's right.
Is that a thing people say?
I don't
see what's so great about sliced bread. I'm sure there's been a lot of good things since sliced bread.
Okay, but hear me out. You butter the bread, right? Now, this is good. Butter the bread, you slice the cheese, you put it on the bread, and you toast it, and then you got a melted cheese toast. That's pretty good. And that's because of sliced bread. Think about that.
Okay, what's the definition of sliced bread? Bread that has been sliced or bread that has been sliced before it's packaged?
People used to just have to eat, like, just pick up a loaf and just shove it in their mouth.
Yeah.
So as soon as they invented knives, they invented sliced bread.
When I'm out and I buy, like, a loaf of bread or something and I don't have a knife on me, I just...
Yeah, you just gotta eat
take
it.
A chunk out of the loaf.
Yeah.
Just eat it.
Yeah, and think about that. Like, think about how much worse the bread is. You gotta, like, if you cut it, you could make sandwiches. Okay, anyway.
It does taste better, though.
Fair. I think we might be slightly off topic.
Okay, next data pack, we added sliced bread to Minecraft. Minecraft, but there's sliced bread.
Let's go.
None of that Minecraft, but we made the internet.
Ah, cringe. Stuff. What is that? Oh, no.
Minecraft, but sliced bread.
Minecraft, but sliced bread.
We've really been missing.
Let's go.
Okay, so we hope we answered your question, Amadeet. No, just kidding. okay, datapack languages. So my take is I still don't know 100% how I feel about them. I think with Zoglin, I think I'm pretty happy with that. I feel like I'll use Zoglin quite a bit once it's a bit more well-developed and has all the features we want it to have.
Mm.
I think some languages go... And I don't want to talk too much about this because I'm sure we'll have a lot to say when we actually do a podcast episode on Zoglin itself. But I feel like some languages go a bit too far and sort of lose a bit of... Like, what I like about Zoglin is the sort of the design choice of how everything is very transparent in terms of, like, project structure. So you literally define the modules and the namespace and the function names. And that maps one-to-one with the datapack structure, so you can see the structure in the code.
Yeah.
Which is something which I feel like some datapack languages are lacking.
Yeah, and it feels like as well you could very much write Zoglin, like, ignoring, like, modules, namespace modules and functions, you could pretty much write the rest of Zoglin just like you would a datapack, except you're writing it in, like, function blocks rather than as files.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, that's what we did with Harlequins, right?
Mm.
It was right at the beginning of Zoglin. And so the only features we really had was inline, yeah, like, functions and modules in one file and inline resources, as in advancements, predicates, loot tables, etc. The only problem which we had with that really is, like, the lack of autocomplete support.
And syntax highlighting.
And syntax highlighting for MZ function.
Yeah.
Hopefully we can figure out a way to get Spyglass working inside MZ function. We got a lot of it working. We could definitely do most of that, except for Spyglass doesn't seem like it's meant to be embedded, so we'll have to figure out how to get around that. But other than that, we can definitely embed Spyglass in the Zoglin language server. I also like how Zoglin just lets you write MC function in the pack itself, in the function itself, without any additional thing. Mm. You literally can just write a line of code which is just in MC function, and it just compiles to that MC function.
Yeah.
Whereas some languages, I feel like, don't really have that, and you rely on essentially functions defined by the standard library of that, or defined by the compiler of that language, to do stuff. Like, instead of having just access to the Telrail command, you have to use print. Stuff like that, which, I don't know, I don't really like that. I think it overcomplicates it and adds too much of an abstraction, I feel like.
Mm. I think, like, an important thing for me, like, was very much in mind when I first wrote the, like, initial spec. Now, it's moved on a lot since then. I'm not gonna, like, it's not just my language anymore, but I wrote the initial spec, and what, like, I'll say my take of designing that was very much, I wanted it to be, like, almost a one-to-one abstraction with things. I didn't want to, like, try and bodge in an abstraction that wasn't there.
Mm-hmm. Also, I like how we've done variables, how variables, you can exactly predict where, like, the location of variable, because it will be essentially just the name of, like, its namespace to the storage based on the function it's defined in.
Yeah.
And I like how we've done that as well. And I think a lot of that comes from the way we programmed Code of Copper and stuff, where we would essentially namespace variables to the function they were used in.
Yeah.
And pass around variables by that certain convention and everything.
Mm.
So I think I really like how we've done that. Whereas I feel like I've looked at several datapack programming languages since we started developing on Zoglin, because I hadn't really looked at them before. I'd always just generally used vanilla MC function. But I started looking at some other ones, and when I would look at one, my first thought was, okay, what does this compile to? I think with Zoglin, I really like how, I mean, sure, you still got to look up the documentation to see how it compiles, but once you know the basic rules of, like, variables and functions, you can just easily look at a piece of Zoglin code and say, I know what that compiles to.
And, like, that's very important to us, particularly as technical data packers who are trying to eke the most performance and the most, like, hacks out of our data pack code as possible.
Yeah.
We need to be able to take control and do something that you shouldn't be doing normally, but, like, we've talked about it, like, plenty of times, like, you know, string filtering with a tags array on an entity, right?
Yeah.
No one designing a higher level data pack language is like, oh yeah, people are going to be doing that. Yeah, let's, you know, focus on that. No.
Yeah.
So very.
We also want it to be very easy to interface with vanilla MC function.
Mm.
So yeah, that hopefully that will be very easy, because you can just essentially build a Zoglin project and then call your functions from vanilla, pretty much, from regular MC function, and the other way around. It somewhat reminds me of C for assembly, because C is very low level in certain ways. Like, for example, most compiled languages have what's called name mangling, which is where the name of a function, let's say, gets run through some processing thing to essentially ensure that it has no conflicts with other things. Because if you have a module system in your language, because of the way that compiled binaries work, you can't have two names which collide, and so they do name mangling. Whereas C doesn't have that. It just basically outputs functions as they're named in the code, and you can pretty easily call assembly from C and C from assembly.
Yeah.
It reminds me a bit of that. I think let's leave it there, and we can discuss Zoglin endlessly when we do a podcast episode on Zoglin.
Look forward to the Zoglin episode, or likely two episodes, where we will discuss about that on great lengths, about all of the design decisions we've made, because we could talk about this for hours, honestly.
Definitely.
Okay, this one I think might be the one I'm most excited to talk about, because this is something that's brewed in my mind for like ages now, but I'll read the question out first. If you could add one technical Minecraft command that doesn't yet exist, what would it be? And so this was asked by Lion Lance. The one technical Minecraft command that
okay, hang on. Let me make my prediction.
Okay.
You're going to say slash inventory.
Wow. He called me out. I don't know how he did it, but he called me out.
I've heard you rant about this stuff before.
I have rambled about this for hours. I could go on. Okay. Hear me out, right? This could solve so many item-related issues, so many GUI-related issues. Okay, it's very common that plugins will have a command to view the inventory of another player, right? It's a fairly standard command in the plugin space, right? To be able to say, view a certain player's inventory, right? What if we had a way to force a player, like, to run a command and the player, like, it would open the GUI screen for an inventory, right? So then you could use that to see and, like, access any player's inventory or a chest's inventory or your ender chest inventory, and you would have different inventory sources, right?
Yeah.
But then, what if we had an inventory's registry, right? Hear me out. That you could define inventories, custom inventories that would work kind of like storages, and you would be able to configure like what type, like if is it a dropper type inventory, is it a chest type inventory, right? The different, like, because they all have different screens and item slots and stuff. But then you would be able to perform item modifiers on these custom inventories. You would be able to I would make it that you could access them, like they would also correlate to a data storage. So it would just be a formatted data storage. So you could use data modify commands with them, but also inventory commands.
Yeah.
And then you could use these to make custom GUIs that show up. You could use these to, you know, just view an entity's inventory, a player's inventory. It would just be like such a great all-around command that would add so much more complexity and, you know, flexibility to data packing. So that's my pitch. I it probably barely came across because I just rambled it all out. But, you know, at one point I might make a full video on this command idea. Or maybe just make a mod that implements it, I don't know.
That would be cool to make a mod which does that.
Yeah, it's just like a proof of concept to kind of like show what we could have kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
All right, Gears, what's your technical Minecraft command?
I'm not sure. I mean, what you said sounds really cool. So definitely, I would definitely be like if we had that. But in terms of my own one, okay, so I could, I mean, all right, this one, first of all, this is never going to happen because this isn't obviously something which Mojang gonna want to do, and second of all, it's not actually that useful for most cases, but slash HTTP, and I know we've discussed this a lot, but just a way to make HTTP requests with data packs would be so fun to play around with.
Yes.
Now, what I was saying earlier about how data packs are sort of safe and sandboxed, this would completely break that principle. So this is never actually going to happen. But slash HTTP get, slash HTTP post, slash HTTP patch, like...
You know what? I want to make a mod for that as well. That would be very cool to have.
Yeah, that would be. Yeah. So thank you for that question, Lion Lance.
What is your preferred type of gun to use in a duel in Minecraft?
I've never used guns in Minecraft.
I haven't played... I used to play some games that kind of had guns on Hypixel a while back. I don't remember much about them, to be honest.
I don't think I've ever really played with a date pack that's guns.
Oh, I did actually play... Actually, no, I just remembered. I did play a data pack that has guns. I think it was Gaming Bard's guns.
Oh, yeah, that one.
Wolfian set up a map for us to play that had that on it. So, yeah. Not that I remember the types of guns, though. I'm not really a gun person. No. So, well, if I had to
Game Barnes American, so...
Makes sense, yeah.
He'll know all about guns. Guns are his favourite object, I'm pretty sure. Based on interactions I've had with him on Discord.
Americans be like...
Game Barn, if you're listening, hi.
Have fun with gun. Okay, if I had to answer, my favourite type of gun is big gun. I like big gun.
I prefer little gun. Less heavy.
Mm. Yeah, they both have their merits, you know? Big gun goes big boom. Little gun goes little boom.
But it's also much faster.
Much faster. And lighter. Boom. Yeah. It's like using a sword versus using an axe in Minecraft. Now that's
a good
question.
Using a laptop versus using a PC.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, like the laptop's a little bit more ergonomic.
Yeah, but a PC can be more powerful. Like you're not going to add a super GPU to your laptop probably.
Yeah.
You might to your PC. But also like if you're traveling around, you don't really want to bring a PC with you.
That's right. So, like, a PC, you can run shaders in Minecraft, whereas a laptop, no shaders. Unlucky.
Well, I'm currently recording this on a laptop, so...
no shaders.
Yeah.
Okay. You get to read the last
question. I'm not sure we're actually going to have time to get to the questions we're going to ask each other. We've been...
Surely we can do some rapid fire, surely.
Okay, sure.
For those ones.
All right, anyway, last one. This one's by Switch Cube, like the last one. YouTube Shorts or TikTok? What do you think?
Well, I have personally... Okay. I'm going to say YouTube Shorts because I'm bitter. I signed up on TikTok... went on, and no matter what I did, I could not get one of those bloody capes. Impossible to get. I joined the streams, I wrote the funny words in the chat. I don't know what I was doing. I must have looked like the most boomer person in the world, but I could not for the life of me figure out how to get a goddamn cape. And Twitch wasn't any better, it didn't work either. I just couldn't get one.
I got the Twitch cape.
Because I watched the Phoenix SC stream after you like told everyone about the capes, and I watched for like half an hour, and he said it was 15 minutes. No cape. I just couldn't get one. So YouTube Shorts wins.
Your inbox or whatever.
I did check my inbox. Also, YouTube Shorts has Skibbity Toilet.
Oh, God.
I think that really takes the cake.
Reminds me. Honestly. I'm not sure that makes me feel better about my decision.
Okay, what's your decision?
But I was gonna say YouTube Shorts because TikTok is evil. TikTok is the spawn of hell. If you ask me.
You know what? I can see where you're coming from.
Anyway, I saw this video a while ago about some like things about the TikTok which aren't very good. A little bit damning. But yeah. I've never used TikTok. I've never made a TikTok account. Even when there was a promise of getting a Minecraft cape. I didn't do it.
Okay.
I made a pact for myself never to download TikTok or create an account.
Okay, but you gotta admit though, the TikTok cape was the best one of the capes that dropped. Maybe with the exception of the like creeper cape that everyone got.
Yeah, I use the creeper cape now.
Creeper cape is cool.
I haven't put on the Twitch cape. There's also that cool MCC cape. Which
yeah, that you had to be on Bedrock.
Required you to be on Bedrocked, and I use Linux, and you can only run Bedrock on Windows, so I would have had to like spin up a Windows machine,
Well, there is actually the Bedrock Linux launcher that runs Android, and then you could play Bedrock.
Oh, right, yeah.
But it's probably not worth your time, to be honest.
No. Yeah, I didn't end up getting it.
Yeah.
But yeah, YouTube Shorts, I honestly don't really watch YouTube Shorts. I did go, there was a point where I did watch it a bit, but I haven't watched a YouTube Short in several months.
Yeah.
And so, honestly, I don't really have a preference, but YouTube Shorts.
I'll occasionally watch a, like, meme compilation when I see one on my YouTube recommendeds, but that's about the extent that I use it. To be fair, I mainly use YouTube to watch, like, proper videos.
Yeah, same.
And in terms of Cape, I don't use any of the Capes because I'm actually an OG and I have an Optifine Cape. that's right.
The real OGs have a Minecon Cape.
Yeah, well, I am not made out of money, am I? I wish I got to go to a Minecon. That would have been lovely. Should we move on to rapid fire our questions? So the format's switching up a bit. We're now asking each other questions and we're not answering our own questions. We're going to try and rapid fire them a little bit just so it's a bit faster.
Okay, do you want to go first?
Okay. This is a hard-hitting data pack question. What is your favorite registry?
Oh, registry. Mm. Yeah. Well, the thing is, some registries are data-driven and some aren't.
Okay, I'm going to say ones that are data-driven.
That are data-driven, okay.
Yeah, I'm going to add that.
Well, function is pretty cool.
Okay.
But no. I'm going to say enchantment.
Enchantment
is my favorite registry. It allows for a lot of stuff that you can do. Okay,
that's a good pick.
Question for you. What's your favorite mocklib function?
It would be sacrilegious to say anything other than mocklib API /data/get.
Yeah.
It would be sacrilegious to say anything else.
Uh-huh. That's with definitely set the most followed used one by it.
Set followed as a close second. And collect.
Honestly, I think my
forgotten
one is
at the bottom.
Collect.
It's a good function, okay? It's just not as useful.
What was that? It's an array filter, isn't it?
Yeah, it's just every, like, rather than, like, get just returns the first one, collect returns all of them, so all matching ones.
Yeah.
Here's another hard-hitting data pack question. If you had to remove one data pack feature, what would it be?
The /me command.
The /me command. Interesting, not /w.
Oh, /w. What's that an alias for again? Is that /message, is it?
I think it might be. Yeah, it's something really stupid. I think it's Whisper. It's Whisper, that's what it is.
Whisper,
and so Whisper is the same as message.
Which is the same as /message, yeah.
Oh, it's such a bad alias. Yeah. So you're saying /w or /me?
I'm sticking with /me.
Yeah. I like /me.
I know, it's your favorite Minecraft command. Which you publicly stated.
That's right. All about me.
I don't know, maybe once. You definitely told me it's your favorite command.
I think you
have publicly stated it.
I think I may have publicly stated it in maybe an early episode. I don't know.
Maybe, yeah. Okay, which aspect of the Golem script parser did you find most challenging?
Oh, God. Oh, no. Are we talking about the 0.0, like, the modern rewrite, or are we talking about the initial parser?
Any the initial iteration. Parser, the rewrite, whichever one.
Okay. In the initial parser, closing out of a literal was a nightmare, because it would run on close, which was a recursive function, but it would screw up.
Why is it recursive function?
Because the 0.1 version, it would, like, basically a lot of things would run in a loop, and then close would be run too many times occasionally. And that was just, it was not good code, okay? There are a lot of issues, and yeah, that was the most painful.
We only had 1 week to write it, so. Yeah,
this is the most painful bugs came from that, and I had to add, like, is closed tag to a bunch of stuff that shouldn't have had it. Yeah. So that was beautiful. I remember I was sitting on a ferry, a very, very rocky ferry heading across the ocean.
Tasmania?
It was to Kangaroo Island, a small island in the state that I am. But I was actually heading back, and this was right, like, I think a day before the deadline, and I was fixing this closing code. Yeah, I
remember that, actually.
And everyone else was seasick, but I had code to do. So obviously that was more important.
Seasickness can wait until I get home. I gotta
exactly.
Seasickness can wait until after the jam.
That's right.
Yeah, I vaguely remember talking to you, messaging you on Discord, and you're like, "Yeah, I'm on a ferry right now."
Yeah, well, I had to get it done. So,
do you want
to
ask your next question?
Yes. What is your favorite data pack that you have made by yourself? So not involved with anyone else.
Okay. Because favorite data pack that I've created is got to be Code of Copper or Golem Script.
I think that's the same for me. But
favorite data pack I made by myself. Well, okay. Does it have to be made to completion? Because I made a lot of data packs partially.
I think you can say one that you haven't released or haven't finished. Yeah.
Okay, well, I said that, but now I can't think of any which I haven't released.
Yep.
I feel like there was a point where I had loads of ideas for a data pack, and I started on them, and I got about as far as the basic systems, and then I just gave up.
Yeah.
So, but most of them didn't get very far, so I'm not sure I'd really... favorite data pack I've worked on... probably Fungecraft, honestly. My other programming language.
Fair enough.
That was fun to... That was like my first technical data pack, really.
It might have been fun, but was it Funge? Now that's the question.
Very Funge and very Craft.
Funge to work on.
Yeah, I think I enjoyed that. It was interesting implementing certain pieces of logic. But yeah, I think that was my origin story in terms of technical data packs. That's what led me eventually to Code of Copper.
Yeah.
So, okay. My next question. So we talked, I think last episode it was, about our favorite data pack tricks and hacks that which we'd found out.
Mm-hmm.
And what we conclude is that a lot of them aren't needed anymore. Because of macros, you can just do it with macros, right?
Mm-hmm.
So my question is, what's your favorite, which now obsolete trick do you wish we still had to do?
That's a good question. Oh. Now obsolete trick. Ooh, that's a toughie. I mean, I'm very partial to the entity tag filtering. I think that's still just one of my favorite just hacks that you have to do. And I mean, it's completely obsolete now. It's pretty useless. Another one, I guess, like calling a function by placing a command block. That's also kind of fun.
Yeah.
It's so much better being able to do it with a macro, but that's a cool one to do. You know, I'm going to have to say the Moxlib data manipulations, just because I sunk so much time into those, like so much time and effort went into making those functions. And like, I kind of miss them a little bit.
Yeah.
Because macros have like pretty much replaced them.
Yeah, you just, yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
There's obscure edge cases where you can't do it with a macro, like comparing... like arrays of strings, because like array comparison with like, you know, it's kind of inclusive rather than exact.
Yeah,
right.
It doesn't. Yeah.
So that's where they're still technically needed, but that's pretty obscure edge case. My question.
Yep.
If you were to remake one of your old packs, which would it be and what would you do differently?
Oh, okay. If I could remake one of my old packs, I would. That's a tricky one. Okay, well, I feel like I'm kind of happy with the way that a lot of them turned out in the end, in terms of what my initial goal was and how they ended up. I'd be interested to take a look back at my Lucky Blocks data pack, because that was way before we had component crafting. And so, actually, even what I was doing then isn't possible now, because I wanted basically a recipe which took in a custom item with custom components, or MBT at the time, as input, and outputted one with custom MBT and stuff. And so I decided I would write my entire an entire custom crafting system, and that took me a long time. Like, it took me ages to get that done. I remember, actually, I think it was my birthday. It was in the evening of my birthday, after my party was over and everybody had left, and I was just like working away at my data pack. I was like, "It's complete!" I just remember that feeling of satisfaction, because it's no small feat making a custom crafter, completely implementing your own logic. But I'm not sure if I'd want to, I don't know, I'm not sure if I'd want to redo it.
Right.
I mean, I'd maybe do it again just to, like, have that experience of, like, trying to figure out how all the things work again. Well, one thing is, a while ago, I went through and updated a lot of my data packs to 1.20.5 and 1.21. Because obviously they broke compatibility with most previous data packs. And for some of them, it was fairly trivial to update. So yeah, I did that. But for Fungecraft, again, there was a few things which I was relying on which have changed now, like how written books contain, basically, instead of containing just an array of strings for their pages, they have an array of objects with, like, a raw key, right, and the string value. So honestly, I'd still want to go through and update it to 1.21. And so I maybe will go back and do it differently. And I don't know, I feel like there's probably a lot of not so optimal code
you can,
there.
Theoretically, can you do NBT path thing where you can collect them all and, like, theoretically get all of the raws? You know how we were talking about those?
Oh, yeah, I could.
I could theoretically,
I think I could,
you know, save you a bunch of
time.
Oh,
that's
there.
So cool. Yeah, because hang on, we're breaking the barriers of time, aren't we? Okay, you know, we can't hide it any longer. The next two episodes, we've already recorded at the time of recording this. So the MBT path thing, that will be next episode.
The cat's out of the bag.
Yeah. We've broken the fourth wall.
We had to record early because we've got
we had to
private things coming up. We're not gonna be able to record for a while. So
yeah, and we had to give time for everyone to submit their questions. So anyway. If you're wondering why stuff doesn't necessarily make sense in the next episode in comparison with this, yeah, that's why. But that's a good idea. But yeah, I think I want to go through and rework it. Like, there's this one function where I basically created a map from Minecraft blocks to characters.
Yeah.
Like, text characters. And now we have macros, I feel like we could do that much easier. With just, like, an array. And a lot of stuff like that. I couldn't figure out how to get a new line working, because you can't put a new line in storage strings. But now you've taught me that you can do that with a loop table.
The loop is so cursed.
So cursed, but it's doable. So I think that's what I'm going to do. I think I'm going to go back and I'm going to update Fungecraft so it works on 1.21.
Yeah, nice.
And I'm going to, I think that'll be fun to do.
All right.
My turn. So you asked me about my favorite data pack that I've made. Mm-hmm. What's your favorite data pack that someone else made?
Someone else made? Oh, that's a good question. Oh, my. Oh, what data packs have I played? See, this is the problem, is I've made more data packs than I've actually played.
Pretty much same.
So that's a really tricky question. Favorite data pack that someone else has made? I mean, I think the only one I've played in any recent time that hasn't been made by myself, I've not been involved in at all, has been Gaming Barns and Guns. I think that's, like, That's the only one I can say. It was a good pack. Gaming Vard, if you're listening, and or still listening, if you were listening earlier, good job. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, I haven't played that, actually.
Now, this is what we call in the business winning by default. But you get the W there.
I mean, you know what? If you have no competitors, then, you know, you're always the winner.
Yeah, that's right. It's pretty good, if you ask me. No, I think
my favorite data pack off the top of my head from ones which I've played around with is, I think, GoBlox by Silobear.
Oh, I forgot about GoBlox. Okay, GoBlox is another
which
great
is basically,
option.
It's a way of programming sort of events and functionality for various things using blocks, a bit like in Scratch. So yeah. Each block has like a certain way that it works, and then you can like connect them in chains and have conditions and stuff and triggers and events and stuff. It's pretty cool. He hasn't updated it in a long time. In fact, I'm pretty sure if you go to Modrinth, sort by updated, recently updated, and go right to the last page, it's right at the end. it's the least recently updated data pack on the entirety of Modrinth.
That's great.
And when I told that to him, he said, that's enough motivation never to update it again. So,
honestly.
it's pretty much archived now, but it was cool.
Very cool. It was pretty cool. I would argue it's somewhat inspired Code of Copper. Like, it got, personally, like, obviously, you know, there's two people worked on Code of Copper, but for me, I was thinking about language data packs after seeing GoBlox. And yeah, I think I'd like played around with GoBlox. It was probably like a month or maybe even like a couple weeks before we started working on Code of Copper. Because I think I was even working on like contributing somewhat to GoBlox early on. I don't know if I,
yeah,
ever
I thought,
actually did.
Me too, actually. I feel like I made a fork of it at one point.
Yeah. Yeah, I feel like I worked on it at some point. But obviously when Code of Copper came around, that kind of took all of my, attention.
I think there's also something, I think it's a server called MC Diamond Fire, which is sort of a similar concept, which has, like, blocks, and you can create, like, mini-games and stuff on the server.
That's cool.
I think that was also what partially inspired it, but yeah. Nice. Okay, do you want to ask me your next question? I think we each have one more.
Yep. Okay, so this is my final question. Would you rather have to code data packs only in Notepad for the rest of your life or never be able to use /execute again?
Ooh.
Yeah.
Am I allowed to use online generators?
No. If the generator ends up making an execute command, you're not allowed to use it.
But if I do it in Notepad, then I can still use execute.
You can use like MC Stacker, yep, but nothing to like provide syntax highlighting in the web browser.
Right? Can I use misode?
You can use misode, yeah.
Okay, because misode is. I don't really rely on MC Stacker anymore, to be honest. I think I did a lot when I was starting out, but I've pretty much memorized a lot of the command syntax.
Yeah.
Now, and when I don't know it, I usually look it up on the Minecraft wiki rather than MC Stacker.
Yeah.
It's
good for like designing a custom item, like that's or like custom.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
Then for technical data packing, that's fairly uncommon.
Yeah, I haven't made a custom item with a lot of data or a custom entity like that that recently at all. So, yeah. So I think I'd do Notepad. I think I could survive in Notepad.
You could survive in Notepad. Interesting. All right.
I'm not sure I could survive without /execute.
Fair. Alrighties.
Okay, last question. This is another hard-hitting data pack question, which is very important and definitely has an effect on real-world things. Okay, picture this. Okay. Data packs suddenly become the standard for front-end web code instead of JavaScript.
Oh, no.
Is this a positive or a negative change?
Oh, no.
I know people have some hot takes about JavaScript.
Look, I'm not... I'm the first guy to criticize JavaScript at any given point in time. But no, we're keeping JavaScript. We're not having data packs on web development. No. Data-driven web development.
I mean, we got WebAssembly.
You know, Zoglin should compile to WebAssembly.
Zoglin. I mean, we could compile the Zoglin compiler to WebAssembly.
We could. I mean,
we could have a website which does it.
Yeah.
I think that was the plan anyway.
Yeah, I think so. Like,
but we could have Zoglin compile. I'm not sure how that would work. We'd have to, because Zoglin supports arbitrary MC functions, so we'd have to make an MC function to WebAssembly compiler.
Yep.
But, yeah.
Well, okay. We managed to get through all the questions in the small... Hour 37 currently. It'll probably be shorter because we'll cut it down. But yeah, we should probably wrap it up there, I reckon.
Yep. So what have we learnt today? We've learnt that JavaScript is bad, but it's not quite as bad as MC function.
That's right.
And kids, we've also don't learnt do data packs. That...
Stay in school.
Stay in school, don't do data packs.